Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we travel together on a long, crazy road with no end. Is it infinite? We'll never know, because we'll never reach the end. But that's not the point. Look to your left. Look to your right. What do you see? Yes, it's me, Hearty. We're friends. Much love. Welcome.
Does Dora speak to you? Oliver?
Sure.
Does Dora
Oliver?
Sure.
Speak to you?
Does Dora... This door speaks to you. This door speaks to you.
Good morning.
Morning.
Why are you guys wearing those big yellow raincoats? It's not raining. It's for the subterranean sea.
We're gonna go exploring the subterranean sea.
The what now?
The vast subterranean sea that's under our house.
There's a basement under our house.
Under that. Butchie was digging down there.
Not burying anything, just digging.
Okay.
And it opened up to this vast underground sea.
I'm speechless.
Oh, good. Sorry to miss the rare quiet, but we gotta go. Did you fill the thermos full of coffee?
Yep.
Wait. Now, you're going down there now?
Yeah. There's an old ship anchored there. 15th century. It's where our buddy Albrecht Dürer has his office.
That's a lot of crazy in one sentence.
Can't talk. Need to go.
Hang on now. I'm going with you. It can't be the actual Albrecht Dürer.
There's not just one Dürer.
This guy knows nothing about the nature of light.
Bring a jacket. It's damp.
What a tranquil day it is on the subterranean sea.
That it is, sir. Pretty much always tranquil, since we're in a giant cave and all.
Not the best circumstances for sailing, I know. We don't make much forward progress, but also we don't bounce up and down so much.
I guess it's a trade-off. We don't get anywhere, but at least we don't get anywhere smoothly.
Not even sure there's anywhere to get.
True.
Did you sharpen my compass?
Which one, sir?
Well, the directiony one doesn't need sharpening. I mean, the one for making circles.
Ah, well, now they're both sharp.
How do you sharpen a... Never mind. Good. I must return to work on my calculations soon.
Oh, you mean doubling the cube?
Yes, Ray, my life's work. I will go down in history as the genius who solved this riddle using only a protractor and a compass.
And the other kind of compass.
I use both, yes, but I use one for making circles. Except for making circles in the ship.
True. I guess if we included all the tools you use, we'd have to include forks and pencils and all that.
Now, a pencil I use pretty directly in what I'm doing.
I can see that. The cucumbers fuel the work.
What on earth are you talking about?
I mean, you spear the cucumber with the pencil and eat that while you'll work on your cube problem.
Is that why my pencils are all wet and slimy? I use them to write, Ray.
Ah, I was wondering why you were writing with cucumber skewers. Things can have multiple uses, can't they?
No, not all things. I'm going to end this discussion because I'm afraid of what else you're repurposing of my possessions.
Like, anything can be a handkerchief.
Where does the light go? It bounces. It gets absorbed. It knocks around in things and seeps out. Where is the light from Albrecht Dürer? On paper. In rocks. Under the ground, in eyes, where does the light go and how many Dürers are there? And what if each one is, like the name suggests, a maker of doors? How many doors of light have been made? Hello, Doc. Thanks for taking me on such short notice.
No problem. What's up?
Durer speaks to me.
Come again?
Albrecht Durer speaks to me.
The Renaissance artist?
Yes.
You feel an affinity for his work?
No, not really.
You said he speaks to you.
Oh, not like that. I mean literally.
In person, in dreams?
Both.
Let's talk about in person first. You are hearing a voice?
Oh, not just a voice. I see him. He's standing in front of me.
When does this happen?
In various situations. At the grocery store, the gas station, he waits on me at restaurants.
And you recognize him from his long curly hair and 15th century German manner of dress?
No, he just looks like normal people.
I'm sorry if I'm a little confused. You are saying that...
For instance, my friend Ray Tracing and I were eating at this restaurant in town called Cubes, and the waitress was Durer.
How?
Don't ask me how I knew exactly. There was just something, an attitude, some wordless clues. I felt there was just some kind of confidence, a certainty about her.
You said you see him in dreams as well?
In dreams, he looks like the portraits you see. Long, curly hair, piercing gaze.
What does he say?
He talks about proportion. Proportion. Things' sizes relative to one another.
Anything else?
Perspective, too. The things light does, depending on your vantage point.
And?
He says, no one person is all beauty. No one Durer is all Durers. No one door is all doors.
Hey, folks. Mind if I sit here?
Folks?
Oh, I'm sorry. I saw your reflection in the window, and I thought there were two of you. It's so dark out. Oh, that was weird.
No, it's just me. Please, sit down. No one's sitting here.
Thanks. That's so strange. The window is like a mirror when it's so dark. The moon's peeking through a little now, so I can see your reflection and the outside together.
Tricks of light.
Light is tricky. May I ask what you're reading?
Sure. It's Albrecht Durer's fifth book on measurement.
Fifth book? I thought there were only four.
I wrote this one. It's about measuring time.
I've made you a special meal, Hardy.
Oh, Lou, that's wonderful. I can't wait.
Sit down and I'll serve you.
Oh, this is such a treat. To what do I owe this?
You've been a good friend, and I've been worried about the end of things, and so I wanted to not put things off. So, ta-da!
What is this, Lou?
A book.
A book?
Yep, bon appetit.
Is it made of something edible?
Plant matter, so yes.
It's not some kind of marzipan shaped into a book?
No, it's a book, right off the bookshelf. I did a few things to it, like laid some parsley next to it and warmed it a bit.
A book.
Yep, eat up. It's sweet. It'll upset your stomach, but it tastes good.
Where did you get the recipe for this?
I got the idea from a Durer etching. Why?
Open the doors. Double the cube. Follow the light. Follow the light as it hits the window of the train car and shoots off in all directions. I am a trick of light. I'm bouncing off time and into books and radio shows and hearts. Don't start at zero. Go farther back than that. I'm building a house. It looks easy enough. In fact, it's a simple cube. But the plans call for the edges to be lengths that are irrational numbers. So I don't think we'll ever be done. We'll just approach finality forever. And I'm all right with that. Because I'm building a house. I'm a house builder. And if I finish, what am I then?
Who are you?
You know who I am.
You're Durer, the artist.
I am Durer, but I'm not the artist.
What are you then?
A door maker. One who measures. One who keeps track.
Keeps track of what?
Of light. It's coming and going.
Where is it off to?
Who knows? And it won't get there. It's taken off on a path that's infinite.
What's its length?
A year, 30 years, 50, 100? Doesn't matter. It's what's on the other side of the decimal point that keeps this from ending.
What's in your hand?
An hourglass.
No, the other hand.
A compass, scales, a saw, a platonic solid.
Are you beautiful?
I am beautiful, but I am not beauty.
Permission to come aboard.
Permission granted. Lou, isn't it?
Yes, Albrecht, and this is Butchie.
Hello, Butchie. We go way back. What's up, AD? Hiya, Ray Tracing.
Greetings, Butchie. Hey, Ray. So, we brought our friend Hardy. Hardy, this is the great Albrecht Dürer, master engraver and painter from Renaissance Nuremberg.
Oh, pleasure to meet you.
And his friend, Ray Tracing. Good something to you, my friend. Is it evening or morning? Impossible to tell here under the Earth's surface.
Oh, it's morning, and there's coffee. Oh, joy. We've run out, so this is a real boon.
I have so many questions.
I'm sure you do. You can tell by your expression that you're not someone with very many answers.
Please forgive my rudeness, but you don't look like the self-portraits I've seen of Dürer. Granted, I'm no expert.
Granted. I don't look like Dürer, you say. Everyone laugh. Indeed. Who does nowadays?
But are you the same Dürer that, for instance, did the apocalypse woodcuts?
One and the same.
Oh, are you still making art?
Did you hear the question, Ray?
I did, sir. Odd question.
Is it?
Hardy, I don't think things are exactly as cut and dried as you'd hoped. We are inside the doubled cube.
What?
The whole underground sea is a result of a geometry problem gone wrong.
All right.
You see, Butchie may have used the time machine to cheat and double the volume of a certain cube and accidentally created this place, and also 1,000 Albrecht Dürers.
They aren't all him.
Yeah, they're also people in his paintings.
Thanks, Rat.
Well, it's no secret.
Well, he didn't know, did he?
No, but...
Well, now there's no mystery.
Oh, I still think there's plenty of mystery.
Does anyone want anything from the galley?
I'm good. I'll have a cucumber on a pencil.
Oh, I changed my mind. I will, too.
Cubes, compasses, cucumbers on pencils, underground seas, duplicate engravers, all of them came together in one time and place to change the world after the world had already been changed. This odd combination of shapes and smells was transformed yet again by its encounter with a scrappy time traveler from the future with a coincidental name, Baruch Spinoza. All of this sound dada and wacky to you? That's because it was. And what it was the alternate timeline, non-existent Northern Renaissance. This is alternate timeline Nuremberg in Germany. But it looks nothing like the Nuremberg you're familiar with. It's been changed, interfered with, altered. The real Albrecht Dürer would have lived on a quaint square and worked atop some small shop. But here, Nuremberg looks like 21st century Kentucky, and our Dürer works in a strip mall next to a Walgreens.
So let me get this right, Butchie. You took the time machine to Albrecht Dürer's studio in...
I don't know, 1490s, maybe 1500.
And you used the time machine to do what?
To double the volume of a cube.
And just how did you do that?
I stopped time.
You stopped time?
Calm down, it's going again, isn't it?
How long did you stop it for?
That's an absurd question. If it stopped, there's no measurement. A second, a million years, who knows?
Oh, you know, because it didn't stop for you. You were in the machine, and you aren't elderly, so it couldn't have been that long. Relative to your life, how long did you stop time?
Couple minutes.
Long enough to displace this universe with another, wasn't it?
I just cleaned some things up mathematically.
Pi is now 3, by the way. You're welcome.
Pi is 3? I thought pi around. Hang on now, that's not right.
Look. Other than the fact there are now 1,000 Dürers scattered around the globe through time,
and there is a vast subterranean sea with colorful characters on intriguing ancient ships. Everything is pretty much the same.
This eating mini cucumbers on pencils thing is weird, though.
I have no idea what that's all about.
Butchie, it is very risky to do things like that.
If you think I'm going to say sorry, you're going to be waiting a long time.
Hey, Albrecht.
Good morning, Albrecht.
Hello, everyone. Butchie, I think you might have made a mistake.
Oh, sorry.
Dude, I don't feel quite right about all of this. It's not who I am. All this talk about etchings and proportions and ray tracing.
Yes, Captain.
See? In my heart, I'm a pirate. I long to be concerned again about things like swabbing the poo deck.
Poop deck, sir.
Yes, yes, and driving a great boat. Sails blowing hither and thither in the wind as we ride the waves, sextant in hand.
Sextant, sir. A sexton is a church bell ringer.
I know that. Mind your own business. Is there any way that we could go back to being our old selves?
Well, we just have to find the light that reflected off the old universe and reassemble it.
Well, that's not possible.
Or I could just destroy the impossible cube.
Explain.
I made an impossible cube with infinite sides. If I destroy that, things will go back the way they were.
We'll do that then.
There's only one drawback.
And what is that?
Welcome to the Haunted Miracle Nutrition. I am your host. Come on in to this scary mansion full of ghosts. But they're no ordinary ghosts. They're the ghosts of your loved ones. So it's both scary and sort of comforting.
Oh, look at there is transparent Meemaw. She's like a cloud. And consequently, her apron is not fitting very well because she's transparent. Look at her. She's just vapor. I don't remember Meemaw being like a big cloud of vape smoke. But I could be forgetting. You know how your memory fades. Oh, the memories of our loved ones fade. That's why it's good when they come back to haunt us, and you see them standing there at the foot of your bed. It's a little bit jarring. You say, oh, Uncle Herbert, we weren't even that close. He's like, yeah, I know. I was in the neighborhood, though, because there was a gathering of spooky ghosts. I wonder if that happens in the afterlife. It doesn't seem like there's guaranteed enlightenment after death if there's so many people kind of running around looking for their old possessions and all clawing at walls. I wonder if it's a sort of purgatory. Are Renaissance paintings an accurate depiction of what happens to you? Is Hieronymus Bosch a prophet? Are we really having knives put in our bottoms and things like that and falling out of half-eaten pigs? I hope not. I hope that's not it. I like sort of the family circus idea of old folks playing. I'm not a big harp fan, but if that's what I have to play in the afterlife, that's great. I don't know what's in hell. What are they playing? Hell, I guess ukuleles. I really don't know. Sometimes it depends on your mandolin skills, but in heaven it's harps. What's the Japanese one? Samisen. They'd play that. That sounds a lot like banjo. There's banjo in hell too, I'm pretty sure. But they sit on clouds and they have beautiful robes. I wouldn't mind wearing a robe. When you're dead, you need. It's nice to have some room, especially around the crotch. I guess it's not really there anymore, but it seems everybody is sort of still wed to their corporeal form. So I was digging my body. Well, what if your body is horrible? So can I get a new one? No. Well, what can I do? Well, you can take your old body, your old misshapen body, and we'll just make it into like smoke or vapor or something, steam. You're going to be a steam version of yourself. Oh, that's interesting. I wouldn't mind doing that. Oh, would I be a ghost? I don't know. Where would I haunt? Where would I come back to? A lot of places sort of bored me in life. I don't know if I'd go back there and they say that about like bars and say, oh, that's his old haunt. And you wonder how many people, when you walk into a local pub or bar, how many of those people are actually dead? Not just inside. And you can look at their eyes and say, oh, my goodness, you look sort of dead inside. And you go, look what I'm drinking. It's, what is it?
It's a Well brand. Okay, oh my goodness. Yes, have you lost all self-respect? I have, and also my physical form. Now I'm just spirit, pure spirit. Be careful, if it's pure spirit, that's what we call cask strength existence. So I'm undiluted. It's funny, there's a lot of parallels between whiskey making and the afterlife, and a lot of theology could be based on that. For instance, what evaporates in a cask? You know, they put the distilled spirit in the cask to age, so it turns magically into whiskey. No one knows how that happens. But some of it evaporates, and that's called the angel's share, because the angels have a drinking problem, and they come down and they stick their angel straws into the cask, and they take their portion, the angel's share, and then they float around, wasted. These are angels. Angels should know better. No, angels are actually sort of archetypes. They're not fully formed people with memories and everything. They are just the embodiment of some singular concept, and that concept could be jealousy. I'm thinking of demons. What are angels? Oh, compassion. Who knows what other angels there are? Oh, extra button angel. What's that all about? There's an angel that provides you, say, oh, I'm missing a button on this old coat I love. What's this in the pocket? And you go in there, and there's an extra button that's been sewn in there. They thought ahead. That's your angel. It's your button angel. And you say, now I can wear my coat again. I wear my pea coat, and it's actually made of what? Peas or pea? It's not really, I'm not sure. That's why I don't wear it very often. It has an odor. But sometimes the musty odor of an old vegetable is indistinguishable from urine, I guess. I don't know. I can't really smell smells very accurately. And this is another thing with whiskey. Go to the whiskey tasting, and they say, what does this whiskey taste like? And I always raise my hand and go, whiskey? And they go, no, shut up. It tastes like tobacco and chocolate. Oh, I hope not. That's a repulsive. That's something I think about when I'm trying to make myself vomit. Like if I've eaten something bad and I don't want to take the syrup of Ipecac, I'd rather think about putting butter on toothpaste or something. Blah! And then there it goes. Oh, sometimes it's wonderful to vomit. Not often, I guess. And this is something that happens around Halloween because all the candy. And that's a metaphor for we want something sweet. So I require sweetness and joy. And then you get an abundance of it. And what happens? You consume it all and it makes you feel sick. And some of it is poison. It's not poison on purpose. It's just that a lot of this candy has been sitting around for many, many years. They say that about some things. Say that a lot of times the peanuts you get in those chocolate peanuts are from the 70s. And there's no way of knowing. They don't put a use-by date on I'm make up a name because I don't want to say a name of a real candy bar. But maybe they do put expiration dates on them. On Halloween candy, the expiration date is your expiration date. Ooh, nobody knows for whom the bell tolls, but it could be for you because you can still hear things after you're dead. They say after you die, I don't want to scare you, but after you die, they think your brain keeps going a little bit because it's like, you know, the old TV, when you shut up an old cathode ray tube TV, it goes, and you see that little dot there for a minute. And that's, well, your brain does that. And so for a minute, you're like, hello, I'm hearing, he's gone. I'm not gone. Hang on. So you hear things a little bit afterwards. So I'm a little bit scared about that. So don't start talking smack about me until I'm sealed in my nice soundproof coffin. And I don't really want one of those. I want my coffin to be made of a meshy material so that it breaks down. Put me in a giant pine crock, like those sandals. Something with vents in it. You see what I'm saying? I can't think of an equivalent. Maybe like a salad spinner. Oh, that might be nice. Put me in a giant salad spinner and spin me to get all the moisture out of me. So that I mummify. I would not mind being a mummy. You know that. I've talked about this. The other day I was speaking with Jeremy Bentham's head. and he said, "Be honest with me. Do these eyeballs look real?" "I got to be honest with you. I think they're candy or something. I don't know what they've done to you, Jeremy. And your complexion is, kind of leathery." And he said, "All right. Well, you know, I've been dead a while. But a lot of mummies become self-conscious like that. So, you know, do I look okay without lips?" I go, "Oh, you know, your teeth, it does kind of make your teeth look whiter since your skin is, I don't know what they put on it, pine tar or something. So it's a nice contrast. Your lips fall away, your nose falls off. Oh, the worms go in, the worms go out. And we don't want that in our mummies because we want our mummies to be preserved." There are in Europe. Europe likes to hang up skeletons and mummies and everything to remind you. It's called memento mori. Remember, you die. I said, "I know, I'm trying to forget. Why can't you let me forget?" "Remember. Why remember?" "So that you are in a constant state of terror and realize that you will be judged and oppressed after you die unless you do exactly what that man over there tells you to do." "Who is that?" "That's Padre Nefarious." "Oh, I don't know if I want to be down with that. Can I not think about it? I mean, death's going to happen regardless. Do I really have to think about it?" "Sometimes, or you might not get things done." "Well, what's the point of getting things done anyway?" "I don't know. You're confusing the matter." "I am confusing the matter. It's very confusing. I don't think I'm ever going to figure things out. I am not expecting to figure things out. I am expecting things to stay unresolved. They will not resolve in my life. My life will be like one of those movies where it seems like nothing's happening. Oh, it's just a series of observations, some feelings. There's no conclusion to my story. Yes, I die at the end, but I die with a lot of things undone. I die with most of my questions unanswered. If you really want to get a sense of my life, just look at it. Look at the things that I looked at. Appreciate those small things. The mono no aware of Hardy's life. The appreciation, the love of ephemera. Look at the tiny things. Look at all these things around. Because if you start looking for conclusions or answers, you might be disappointed. But you'll never be disappointed by a sunset. You'll never be disappointed by watching someone arrange flowers. Slow down. There's an episode of the Andy Griffith Show like that. A man come to town. And they made it regional. Like, oh, these northern people are so, in such a hurry. And southern people are chill. This is not true, but for the purposes of fiction. So man comes to town, he's all, "Fix my car," is one of those fellas. And they're like, "Well, you know, Goober's got to do it." And Goober? Yeah, see, Goober and Gomer and all. "Gomer, you got to just settle down. Just sit on the porch with Andy and strum your guitar and stop thinking about where you have to be at this sales meeting and everything. It's going to get done. But just, what's your hurry?" I think was the name of the episode. "What's your hurry?" "Oh, we hurry ourselves. I am careening into the grave. That's where I'm going. I'm hurling myself into non-existence. Why do I want to do that? I think I will sit here and I will watch the flowers grow." "That's no fun for you. Please entertain me, Hardy. I'm sorry, I forgot." "Ooh, tell a ghost story." I will tell the stories of spirits and ghosts that come and haunted people. I gotta make one up because it never happened to me. I feel a little deprived. Some people say, "Yes, I have a ghost story. I saw something move across the floor, and then there was a chilly, clear hand." "Clear? Not like as plexiglass?" "You're lying. It's supposed to be like a cloud." "I don't know. I haven't seen one. I'm making it up." I have not seen real ghosts. I've seen Casper. And they were kind of tadpole-shaped, those classic ghosts. "What happened to your feet?" "I don't need them anymore." "So it's like evolution?" "Yes, we don't need feet anymore. And so we've evolved to just having this tail." "So the tail propels you through, it's like a flagella or something?" "I don't follow you. I'm a ghost." Yeah, I got that. I want to understand the specifics of your physical form
Okay, go on. Okay, so you don't seem to have a neck either. Everything seems to be just kind of... Look, buddy, I'm just spirit. What's spirit? I don't even know what that is. I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure what animates me. I know that there's nerves and stuff. Maybe it's electricity. Maybe we're just all electricity and the electricity moves on. I'm sure it does. The electricity from this broadcast, I know, goes all the waves, the radio waves. That's sort of that's the electromagnetic spectrum. Everything's a spectrum. Everybody's on a spectrum somehow. Everything is a gradation. Nothing is on or off. Everything is just kind of on, kind of off. And so the electromagnetic spectrum, all colors are a spectrum. Electricity is a spectrum. And they all go out and they're all the same thing. I don't understand it, but I do watch documentaries where there are lovely scientists who dumb things down for folks like me who want answers or who want to seem intelligent at a cocktail party, which works until you're at a cocktail party with scientists. And that's happened to me. And then I have nothing to talk about because my facts are made up. And they kind of deal in a real world. And you can't really contradict somebody who spends their whole day doing really rigorous research. And you're, you know, there are ghosts and quantum theory confirms this. And then they roll, the real physicists roll their eyes. And bless their hearts. That's all right. I know what I believe. A lot of what I believe is rubbish. And that's why I sort of keep it to myself. I don't mistake it for truth. It's just my little story that I have to make up to keep going. Oh, what do we have to make up to keep going? We have to interpret things, don't we? So when we feel something behind us, I feel there's a presence behind me. I know that it can't be just sort of some sort of sound waves that are resonating from the karst geography. I mean, so there's caves underneath where I am. And I have this feeling that there's sound waves bouncing around there. And some of the lower frequency ones can really mess with your brain and make you feel like there's something in the room with you. When really, it's something in a cave going whoop, whoop, whoop. That's why occasionally I will throw in very low frequencies in the broadcast to make you feel uneasy. Why would you do that, Hardy? For fun. Just like a fun house or a haunted house. Sometimes it's fun to feel unnerved if there's no consequences. I don't want to put you in danger, but that's why we watch scary movies and why we watch adventure movies and action movies, because we want our heart rate to get up a little bit in the safety of our own home, sitting on our couch and not in one of those impossibly fast vehicles in the Fast and Furious franchise that jumps from one building to another. Who wants to do that? There's consequences. You crash and you plunge and you meet your demise. Woo! But not this way. This way it's all beautiful green screens and CGI and no one gets hurt. And you can fly through the clouds without consequence. And you can go into a haunted mansion designed for children so that something that is really inherently terrifying is made into something cartoonish. Ghosts and ghosts come out and ghosts tonight. Look at them blow. I notice how nobody's been mutilated or anything. But they do have those old-timey faces, those full of character, you know, like Rondo Hatton or something. Look at those thick-featured, crazy caricatures there. That makes me not so terrified. I think maybe if it was like, you know, a young, handsome person, I would be more scared. But I'm not scared. I like to scare myself so I won't be scared. Kind of immunity. Isn't that why we do it? So I'm going to terrify myself so that when something really terrifying happens, I'll be used to it. You get your heart rate up so that when your heart rate is elevated by something scary or something threatening, say, I'm used to having my heart rate up because I do CrossFit. That's what I say. CrossFit is just like being terrified. Anything like that. Any of those workouts where you get your heart rate way, way up. And then you throw up candy. Why did I eat candy before my morning workout? Don't do it. We need to be careful in the things that we put together and that we juxtapose, the ideas. Now you're saying, I think you might have done that, Hardy. It feels to me like part of the show was about one thing, and the other part was about another. This could be very true. We don't know. Things change all the time. My friends have a time machine. It's technically mine, but they borrow it a lot. It's a lot like a truck. You know, it's my truck, but usually somebody is using it to help move. And I'd rather lend it out than be there and helping move. And you say, why wouldn't you help somebody move? They offer you like two and a half slices of pizza and orange drink. I know, that seems like enough. I offer that to the people, the professional movers, one time, and they went, thank you. Just to be clear, this is in addition to our exorbitant fee. And so, I know, I'm just trying to make myself feel better. I could have done this packing myself. This occurs to me in many areas of life. You have somebody over to do a repair, and you watch them, and you go, dang it, I could have done that. But you didn't, and maybe you couldn't. I mean, now you know how it's done, but you didn't do that, because you don't want to do all that measuring and cutting and everything. It's true. I could have done that, but I didn't. Why didn't I? I didn't want to. Some of your unfulfilled desires are not desires. They're things that you think you need to desire. Oh, it takes a lifetime to get in touch with what you really feel or what you really want, and then it's too late. But, like I said, it's the process. It's getting there. I went somewhere with a friend last night, and the car ride was just as good as being there. Yeah, we had a wonderful discussion, and then it was equal to the destination. So the journey is the journey isn't better than the destination, but it's at least as good as sometimes. I'm saying if you're really getting to a rockin' party, it's hard to say that the journey was better. Oh, I got to take the number 8 bus. It's not quite going to be as good as a really good party with really great food and everything. I'm not going to lie to you, unless the party is on a train like that old 70s series, the Super Train. Oh, we are moving through life. We are careening through life on a super train. All our needs are being met on it. We can dress and sleep and eat and wee. And number two, there's only two is a number. I'm up to 8. That's how I have different names. It's like, you know how the people that live in countries that have, or areas of the world that have a lot of snow say, oh, they have 5 words for snow. Well, I have a bunch of words for bowel movement, depending on its timing, consistency, things like that. It's not just one word to me. It can be a whole array of experiences, I think, isn't it? All your bodily functions, like a palate. So I'm going to go in and take an ultramarine. That's how I'm feeling now. But like tomorrow, it might be something else. I hope it's never, if it's crimson, call the doctor, unless you've had beets. I always take a post-it note. If I've eaten beets, I will immediately write on a post-it note, 8 beets, and put the date on it, and then stick it on the lid of the toilet. I just have to remind myself, because I panic easy. Why? Because I am hyper scrupulous or something about my health bothered. I know at one point it's going to be something really bad or fatal. I know that's coming. I'm not, but I always think it's now, and it might not be. It might be I'm having a temporary health thing, but I always manage to panic, because I am not a hypochondriac, but an alarmist. So when something happens, I say, this is the worst thing ever. That's okay. Every time I get on a plane, I prepare to die. I say, hey, why not me? Why not me? It's happened to other people. I'm convinced now that I'm not going to live forever. But it's a sort of forever, because I will infinitely approach the end of my life, and I will never be able to stand on the other side of the end of my life and look back. If you're a ghost, I'm not sure it's possible. That makes it scary for me. If I had to be a ghost and I had to look back on my own death, or I had to witness people being sad, that is more terrifying than if you told me that you will progress infinitely towards your end, but you'll never get there. just like your lifespan is an irrational number, and you will just descend forever towards your demise, but you'll never perceive it. I'll be fine with that.
Oh, it's Halloween. I forgot. Let me get the door.
Trick or treat!
Oh, look at y'all. Oh, I love your costumes. Now, what are you?
I'm supposed to be Shemp Howard.
All right, and what about you?
I'm Merv Griffin.
All right. Now, I don't think that's exactly right. Something's going on here. You are all too young to know about this. This is stuff from my childhood. I suspect that you are from the other side of what we call the Mason-Reese line. So, perhaps you are spirits or just in my imagination?
Yeah, that's it. We are ghosts of your playmates that perished when they were young.
Okay, I don't remember that happening, but that's also kind of grim.
Hey, it's just life.
I know.
You need to be able to find joy in the moments between things like that that are hard.
I realize that we are given both candy and not candy. I don't know what the opposite is. Some candy for me is repulsive. And so candy is, not all candy is candy. And I will tell a story now that I have told 15,000 times on the radio. I almost feel like I'm going to tell it this time and it's going to be some sort of large round number and a bell's going to go off and they'll say, congratulations, Hardy, for someone who pretends they don't repeat themselves. I would just like, as an aside, I have not mentioned earwigs in 4 years. So I feel like that is some restraint. But I had an alcoholic great aunt who I loved, and my Aunt Betty. She is no longer with us because I mentioned her problem, and she was very, very hardcore alcoholic, would stash bottles of gin and vodka in shoeboxes under her bed and things like that. She'd stuff them up in the closet like I do with dry cleaning bags. I know I should put them in the garbage or something, but I take the dry cleaning bag off. Do you do this? Do you do this? Have everybody seen this? This is, I'm doing part of my stand-up act. No, I don't have one. But we went to her house, and it was close to Halloween. It was right around there. And she gave me a Ziploc bag. They weren't Ziploc at the time, but like a sandwich baggie of, yes, there was a time before they Ziploc'd like that. They're just folded over. They were more, it was more a kind of origami concept. And a sandwich bag full of candy. So I said, thank you, Aunt Betty. And we got in the car and we were driving and I looked at the candy and it was kind of moving. Everything was moving. And I thought, do I have one of those fevers again? Because I remember having a fever as a child. And I looked up at the ceiling, which had that sprayed on popcorn texture. And all my ceiling was all running around like the little, you know, I don't know what it was like static or something. And this is what the candy looked like. And then I realized that it was ants, that the candy was infested with ants, that had given me this candy, but had bugs on it. So it was an act of love and sweetness, but the sweetness was tempered by the reality of decay and degradation and creepiness and everything. And I sort of loved it. Now, immediately, we pulled the car over, and I was told to toss it out of the car, which I would have done anyway. I wasn't going to eat the ant candy. Somebody out there has an ant candy, don't they?
Yes, how'd you know? We call her Candace.
All right, Aunt Candy. And I didn't eat the ant candy, but I thought about it to this very day. And I still like to meditate on things that are not ruined. I don't think they're ruined. I think they're mixed with something that makes the sweetness more obvious. Like I said, you get too much sweetness and you have nothing to compare it to. But when you see what it could be, I love that balance. I don't mind the balance. And that's a good thing about this Halloween. There's going to be people in, okay, I'll let you go. I know that that's happening right now. You're listening to this show, and you might be constantly interrupted. So maybe you just come back every 10 minutes or so. Should I just keep repeating myself? Oh, why not?
That's what songs are. When we go to a sing-along or something, we all sing songs we've already sung. They're not surprises. Songs that we love are never surprises. They're somehow comforting. We do them, and we are elevated. We feel some joy. We know we're going to go to that well, and it's going to be the joy well, and you're always going to find something. I would love Miracle Nutrition to be that for you. I know that life is hard. I will now acknowledge that life is difficult. It is full of pain and suffering, and human beings have dealt with this throughout eternity. How can they make sense of an experience that is at once so joyful and so beautiful, and at the same time can be crushing and horrifying and painful, both psychologically, emotionally, and physically, worst of all? How can it be all those things? We can never quite make sense of it. We always see the pain as a punishment and the joy as a reward. But here they are, both offered up as contrasts. The day during the day and the night during the night. Oh, it's hard to take, this strange balance. But I don't think my job is to provide contrast. I think my job is to provide light, is to shine in and be the joy, to be the... Now, I won't say peanut, because maybe some of you can't have that, but some kind of nut. I'm clearly a nut, and I'm covered with what? Some sweetness that I have put on myself to offer it to you, to give you some sort of joy, to be a fellow human being that says, I acknowledge your struggle. I'm not going to look away from you. I'm going to understand that your experience is as difficult or more difficult than mine, and we need one another. I'm not going to abandon you in any way. And the only purpose that I think I have on earth is to say to my fellow human beings, especially the lonely, especially the dejected, especially those who are discouraged, so many of us, to say to you that when I feel joy, I'm not going to hoard it. I'm going to give some of it to you. I'm going to give all of it to you because I know I'll get it back. Somebody's going to pass it on to me. So I don't mind reaching out, and I will reach out a radio hand to you. And you come to my door and you knock on and you say, trick and treat me. Trick me, Hardy, with your audio illusions. Trick me into thinking you're walking outside with Butchie. Trick me into thinking that you're talking in the kitchen with Lou. Trick me into thinking there is a Lou. Trick me into thinking that you're doing things that you aren't really doing. I want to be tricked, and I want to be treated. Treat me like a human being. Treat me as if I had worth. Treat me with the respect that I deserve merely from being alive. Yes. People say, oh, everybody doesn't deserve an award. They want a participation certificate. Let me tell you this, and I believe this with every fiber of my being, that if you are alive and you have walked the earth, you deserve a medal. It is hard. Being born, living your life, and dying is no easy thing. Yes, you are amazing. Yes, you are worthy of praise. Praise to you, O finite human being. Praise to you, delicate creature. Praise to you, transitory, mist, ephemeral creature. I see you. I appreciate you. You don't have to give me answers. I have none for you. All you have to do is share this with me. Be with me. We will elevate one another. I know that sounds crazy, but I will step up on your shoulders. And then when I'm up there, because this is an imaginary world, you can step on mine and we can get higher and higher without any ground beneath our feet. We will rise. We will rise to the clouds and the heavens together and only together. I cannot climb up there alone and nor can you. But we can do it as we cooperate. You know, you're listening to the radio station right now, which I never get over thinking is a miracle. The miracle is in the name of the show, because I'm constantly astounded. The miracle is the name that I ascribe to things that I cannot explain. I cannot explain the show. I cannot explain that I have found myself here in this position of speaking to you. For years I've been speaking to you. Weekly, we have an appointment.
It's beyond lovely. It's beyond a blessing. It does seem miraculous. I know it had causes. I know everything has causes. I know Butchie may say, you know, there is no free will, but he would also concede this, that you don't know what's going to happen, that it's all new to us, and it's all a surprise to us. Well, we find ourselves surprised together in one another's presence. Oh, it's about... I'll wait till you get the door. What, were they superheroes? Oh, I love that. Yes, everybody wants to be a superhero now because they feel a little bit powerless. Say, please, I would love to go and anonymously leave my past behind, leave my image behind, and anonymously be powerful, be able to do good. I would love it if I could pursue justice without being defeated and crushed. Oh, we can. This radio station is a superhero costume. We put it on like that. And then we go out into the world, semi-anonymous, but powerful because this electromagnetic radiation is so powerful. It drives us. It sustains us. The light from the sun literally keeps us alive, and so do the waves from the radio keep us alive. But not all waves are the same. Some of those waves carry messages of destruction, of deceit, of suspicion, of anger, of hatred. Oh, not here. Not here. What you're going to get here is the pure light of a wandering soul whose experience has been that they are humbled by their weakness. They are humbled by their limitations. And they have finally come to terms with that. And through that realization have become liberated enough to not fear their fellow human beings, but to embrace them all and recognize the weakness in them. Ah, I say to you, please help sustain this. I know you're saying, oh, is this some kind of fundraiser? It sort of is. In October, we do what I call that. There's a marathon in the spring. And then they have a name for this. I think they call it the Hellraiser or something. But I call it the Phaethon. It's the Phaethon. Who's Phaethon? So this little lad, he goes to Helios, the sun god. And he says, I don't mean to be rude, but I understand that you're my mother, says you're my father. And he says, shut your mouth. Go away, mama, look out, boo-boo, eh? I'm sorry, I was raised with Calypso. No, he says, yes, that I am. I am. I'm your dad, and I'd give you anything you like. And he said, let me drive the chariot of the sun. And Helios goes, oh, no, what have I done? That's the one thing that you can't do. I have to let you do it, but that's an impossible task. You're not up for it. Only I can do it. No one's able to do it. Disaster is going to happen. I will let you take the reins of this chariot, but it will not be good for you. And so this Phaethon, he gets in the WFMU Phaethon, he gets into the chariot, and he grabs the reins of the horses, and he tries to make the sun rise in the east. And he's going up and up, but the horses, they recognize that this is not the sun god at the reins. This is some weak nothing, some child. And so the horses are directionless, and they go wither nilly 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 heather, wither nether, skittle scattily. I can't remember that. It's onomatopoeia. And they start dipping down and lighting mountains on fire, and they dip down, they light forests on fire, and the world is burning. And Zeus looks down and he says, "Oh man, I gotta have to quell this." And he takes a lightning bolt and he strikes the boy dead. Now, what's this supposed to mean? It's supposed to mean sometimes that we take on tasks that are impossible and too big for us. And that's what this radio station is. We have ambitions. And yes, the task is giant. And I'm sure that someday this will end in our demise. But right now, this radio station is a chariot that's headed for the sky. It is the rising sun on the horizon.
It is leaping forward. It knows that it is not big enough or strong enough or powerful enough to accomplish that mission of being the rising sun, of illuminating the world. But gosh darn it, it's going to die trying. And that's what we're doing. We're asking you to contribute to that quixotic mission that we have of enlightening the world, of sending out these radio waves all over the majorly New Jersey, New York City area, but also on the web worldwide, everywhere. And it touches lives and it changes lives. So we're just asking you to help out a little bit. And you can go online and get all the information. I'm not going to go into specifics. I'm just trying to make you feel as if sometimes small things that you do are actually huge, are major accomplishments, affect people's lives. I wish you could see all the comments that I see. People's lives are changed. They really are. There's so many of us who are isolated, who feel alone, who need to hear the voices of others, and especially voices that are positive, voices that are encouraging, voices that encourage not just the creativity of people who seem gifted or special or something, but everybody's. You can do it. You can make music. You can make art. You can express yourself. Life is short. Come on. You don't have to be the best. Go out and do whatever you want. Don't let others put some kind of limitations on how you express yourself or live your life, what you call yourself. You are who you say you are, and I believe you. Life is too short to have it any other way. And so if you'd like to help out and you'd like to be on a mission, like a more diverse Lord of the Rings group, and we need you, I'm asking you, especially if have your voice heard. Say, well, you know, I don't hear a lot of voices like mine. I'm asking you directly, please, we need you. So either, help out or donate something to make this thing continue. Isn't that something else? Oh, I love it. You want a purpose? How about keep hearty talking to the lonely? Really, it doesn't have to be me. It won't always be me. It isn't about me, right? Somebody will take my place eventually. I'm sure. It's going to be the Butchie Spinoza show eventually, I bet, because he's semi-eternal. I didn't tell you that. Oh, there's so much I don't tell you. There's so many clues. I just leave the clues. I'll never tell you what they mean. I know what they mean. You'll figure it out. You have something to figure it out. I've given you 400 hours of shows. Go figure it out. It's hidden messages. It's fun. You'll love it. It's in disguise. Everything you hear is in disguise. Nothing that you hear is what it seems. Everything is something else. Everything has two meanings, three meanings, three faces. Oh, my friends, and I call you my friends because I want that to be the truth. I am so lucky. And we are living on the earth at the same time so that we can be nourished by the same miracles. See the same sky, see the same sun come up and hit the doorbell again. All right, these trick-or-treaters win. I'm sorry. I love it. I love being interrupted by that. The little imps that come and remind us that our best laid plans, I got to be put down for a minute while we answer the door and give out miniature candy. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and New York City, New York, and online. WFMU.org, worldwide. We love you. We depend on you. You're not just a listener. You are our family and partners. We are a community. We are a city that spreads across the earth. Oh, my friends, love and peace and blessing to you. And I will see you again next week.
Attention, the National Weather Service has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for the following counties in New Jersey: Somerset, New Jersey, Middlesex, Mercer, and Union. The warning is in effect until 12:25 a.m. on November 1st. Stay tuned for Sinner's Crossroads.
Oh, it's too- say amen?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Say it again.
Amen. Amen.
Say it till you feel it.
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise God. I feel good today. Bless his wonderful name. We want to talk to you this morning about a Holy Ghost trip.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
A Holy Ghost trip.
Holy Ghost trip.
Did it fall?